Turn in your Bibles today to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 15. 2 Samuel, chapter number 15. We're going to begin reading today at verse number 13 of this text. I'll give you just a second or two to locate that portion of Scripture. We'd like to preach today upon the subject, friendship is more than a name. Friendship is more than a name. 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning at verse number 13. Verse 13. The Bible says, "And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest, but yesterday should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go thither, I may return thou. Seeing I go thither, I may return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." Now, verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks this morning for your presence in this service. We thank you now for the reading of your word. And dear Lord, I understand today it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So Father, would you see fit today to help me as I stand here today and not only have read the Scriptures, but now help me as I preach it. And Lord, speak to hearts today. Lord, if there happens to be someone here in this church service that feels like they're friendless, feel like no one cares, may they understand today there is one that sticketh closer than a brother, who is a friend of all friends. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friendship is more than a name. Let me lay just a little bit of a foundation for the context before us before we venture into the message today to any degree. David the king had some loyal friends. He was a friend himself, and by the way, the book of Proverbs says that if we would have friends, we need to show ourselves friendly. David certainly was a friend because he had shown himself friendly. I believe that the word friend is used too lightly. Quite frankly, we fail miserably, most of us, from time to time, in the friendship department. The backdrop of this chapter in the life of David factors in the king's activities and the king's associates. Chapter 11 of this book records one such activity. Chapter 11 of 2 Samuel is perhaps the blackest chapter in the king's life. If you read chapter 11, you will see what I'm talking about. Chapter 11 of this book undoubtedly is one of the bleakest chapters in the king's life. The chapter records a dual sin which stained the character of David for the rest of his life. His autobiography would indict him as both an adulterer and a murderer. You think about that for just a moment. His autobiography would indict him as being both an adulterer and a murderer. He committed the sin of adultery. That led to another sin called murder. He had Uriah sent to the front of the battle, and Uriah was killed. So David turns out to be not only an adulterer, but a murderer as well. A black chapter, a dark chapter indeed. We trace his life story and exploits. And we can outline his life along the lines of simple words. We think of his sin. We think of his son, Absalom. He's fleeing from Absalom. We think of his sorrow. And then we think of his devout servants. We see his sin, his son, his sorrow, and his servants. Interesting when you study the life of David. The effects of David's sin with Bathsheba are in full bloom. David has seen his family demolished, innocent lives devastated, and precious people destroyed, all because of the choices that he made. My friend, this morning it's important to make the right choices. It's important to do right in the sight of God. It's important to weigh what we do with a backdrop of prayer and seeking God's face. He is at the lowest point of his life. His own son Absalom has risen up in rebellion against him and has driven him from palace to palace, from place to place. In this chapter in the life of David, we can see David running from his own son. Think about that for just a moment. How heartbreaking that must be. His son Absalom is desiring to be king. His son Absalom pushes his father aside. His son Absalom literally could have killed his own father. And David is fleeing from his own boy. You know, it's tough when you have to handle any kind of a problem, but let it be family. That's when it really gets bad. Interestingly enough, David spends much time as a fugitive running from both Saul and Absalom. You remember Saul tried to kill him. You remember David fled from Saul. Now we see him fleeing from Absalom. Now, let's try to get into the mind of David for just a moment. Let's try to understand his emotions. Let's try to understand his hurt. Let's try to understand what he's thinking. At this point in David's life, he doesn't need a lecture on being a good father. He does not need a seminar on how to govern the kingdom. He does not need someone to come and tell him what a failure he's been. He knows that well enough by now. What David needs is a friend. He needs a friend. I don't know about you, my friends, but I appreciate friends. I'll tell you, a friend is a precious commodity. A friend is something that we can treasure, a friend. How many times in our lives, if it wasn't for a friend, we'd be in a world of hurt. But friends come, and friends can encourage, and friends can uplift, and friends can provide encouragement. One such friend was a most unusual person. You say, Pastor, what is the point? Did you notice when I was reading, I read to you a name that was an interesting name. That name was Ittai. I mean, listen. That's an unusual name, but my friend, more than that, he was an unusual person. Do you realize that Ittai was a Philistine? Do you realize that he came from the same area that Goliath came from? But Ittai was drawn to David. Ittai, a most unlikely person to be a friend. This person was a part of a group of people that were staunch enemies to Israel. Anybody that knows anything about Jewish history knows that the Philistines were a major thorn in the side of Israel. He was a Gittite. His name was Ittai. It seems that this Ittai is the commander of a group of 600 men that came to Israel from Gath to follow David. Gath, as you know, is in the land of the Philistines, and it's the home of Goliath. Do you realize that David would fight Goliath? David would do battle with Goliath. Here we have someone from the same area who befriends David, who said, I want to go where you go. I want to be where you are. Now, you might also remember that David would spend some time living in Philistia, in Philistia when he was on the run from King Saul, and apparently David must have made an impression on Ittai and the rest of the men. Now that David is on the run again, Ittai expresses his desire to be with David. What an amazing story. What an amazing account. Here is Ittai, a person who had been in the background. This is the first time his name is mentioned. But when the chips were down in David's life, Ittai steps up and demonstrates the depths of his life, demonstrates the love, the compassion, the interest in his heart in the depths of his life for this king, exiled king. In fact, he pledges his absolute allegiance to David, even if it means death. Even if it means death. Thank God for friends. All I can do is stand here today and tell you I thank God for friends. I appreciate the people down through the years that I have had the privilege of crossing their paths that have been a friend. There's not a person today in this building but what doesn't need friends. But I'll tell you, I've got to jump ahead a little bit, and I've got to tell you something. I'm thinking today of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm thinking of a friend of all friends. I'm thinking of a friend today that the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But I want to go a little bit further there. The Bible says, when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's carrying it a notch further, isn't it? The friend of friends. Once a British newspaper ran a contest asking for the definition of a friend. And all kinds of response came back concerning how do you define a friend. The winning entry was this thought. A friend is the first person who comes in when the whole world goes out. The first person who comes in when the whole world goes out. That's how Ittai was with David. David's world had gone out. David is in a place of despair. David has been rejected by his own son. David is paying for the consequences of his sin. But in spite of that, here's this Philistine that says, I want to go with you where you go. I'm going to be with you. In other words, Ittai, the Philistine said, even if it means death, I still want to support you, King David. My, what a testimony. As we go through this life, there are few people that ever truly fit the category of a real friend. But thank God there are some. Now, we all know today that it's quite common for people many times to say, thank you, friend. I appreciate my friends. Or we reference somebody as being our friend. But you know what, though? It's one thing to be a friend by name, but it's another thing to be a friend by nature. It's one thing to simply say that person's my friend in the sense that they're my associate. We get along good. We enjoy conversation together. We communicate and all that. But friendship goes a lot deeper. You see, a real friend is someone that will love you even when you have nothing, absolutely nothing left to give. A real friend will stick with you when you're on the mountaintop and when you're in the valley. A real friend will be by your side even when other people have bailed out the boat on you. A real friend will still give you the benefit of the doubt and will still come to you in a time of need and will still encourage and lift you up. Some people are what we call fair-weather friends. They're with you as long as there's some kind of a gain or personal benefit. They're with you as long as perhaps Their acquaintance with you can somehow make them look better. I remember a boss I had years ago. He came to me one time and he told me this. He said, "Your purpose in life is to make me look good." That's what he told me. And I thought, back then, I was immature, and I didn't respond. I just nodded my head like, you know, that's the standard for work, employment, so forth. But I thought about that since then. This guy, by the way, was a Christian boss. A Christian boss. My proper response should have been, "No, my job in life is not to make you look good. My job in life is to make my Savior look good." That should have been the response, but I let it go. But here's what I'm saying, though. Many people are so in love with themselves that if somehow an acquaintance can make them look a little bit better, then they're going to really appreciate that acquaintance. But no, that's really not what it's all about. A friend loves us when everything goes against us. Now, I know most of you folks today, well, I say most, I've got several now in my corner too, along this age thing. You know, this church, good thing about Smith Grove Baptist Church, when you get older, you still always find yourself in good company. Is that a fair statement? I have several colleagues in the same boat, in other words. Now, y'all remember the famous baseball player Jackie Robinson? He was the first black to play Major League Baseball. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. One day, Jackie Robinson was playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn. He committed an error. The fans began to ridicule him. He stood on second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. Shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over to him, stood beside him, put his arm around Jackie Robinson, and faced the crowd. The crowd grew quiet. Later on, Jackie Robinson made this statement. He said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. And my friend, that says a lot, doesn't it? A friend. I can think of many friends like Itai in my life, but I'm glad I have a friend, as I've said earlier, who sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad that I have a friend today that tells me he loves me, regardless of my current condition. I'm glad that I have a friend who cares for me when I'm up and runs to my side when I'm down. Jesus is a true friend. You see, a real friend will stand by you regardless of the risks involved. They'll stick out their necks for you. A real friend will be there when others turn and walk away. A genuine friend might even get hurt in the process of taking your side. But no matter when you look, you'll find them standing firm in your corner. That's a real friend. If you have a friend like that, God has blessed your life. That's what I'll say. Two men one day, let me try to illustrate this with an illustration that you probably already heard. In fact, you know, when you preach very long, the thing about it, you've got to be repeating a few things, or my goodness, you'd almost be supernatural. You don't realize, really, when you stop thinking, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything we say, somebody else has probably already said. But I like this illustration, though. You've heard about this. If you've already heard about it, sit there like you haven't. Please make me feel good on my 70th birthday. Two men were out hunting in the northern United States. Suddenly, one of the men yelled and looked up, and here come a grizzly down on them, coming at them. First man, one of the two, well, he didn't take off running initially. All he did was he just sit down, took his time, put on a pair of tennis shoes. The other guy looked at him and said, "What are you doing? Do you realize that we have to outrun a bear?" And the guy that's putting on tennis shoes said, "No, I don't have to outrun a bear. All I have to do is outrun you." You get the gist, don't you? Now that's a friend for you. And this is the kind of friends that many of us have known down through the years. When the chips are down, many people think of themselves first. But a true friend always puts you first. I heard of another illustration of this point. Back during the days of the Civil War, Sam Davis, a Confederate spy, was executed in Pulaski, Tennessee for his crime. When captured by the Union Army, he had in possession some very important vital papers. After examining the case, the officers in charge of him knew that he must have had an accomplice, someone that had to help him obtain that information. The officers told Sam Davis, they said, if you'll give us the name of the man that furnished you this information, you can go free. It's reported that Sam Davis told his executioners this. He said, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all before I would betray my friend. That's friendship. You see, Ittai was a friend of David. Ittai was a Philistine. Ittai could have very well been on the opposite side of the corner. But Ittai still loved David. You know, when I think of David today, I cannot help but think of his love for his friend. I cannot help but think of David the king, who was taken up by his king. I cannot help but think of King David when I think of Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. David the king loved his king. Psalm 22, he talks about the good shepherd who died for the sheep. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David writes under inspiration in Psalm 22. Psalm 23, David talks about the great shepherd who's living for the sheep. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank God he is, present tense. He is my shepherd. The great shepherd. Then David in Psalm 24, he talks about the chief shepherd who will one day come back to this earth, who will rule and who will reign. So now put it all together. David the king fleeing from Absalom. But he has a friend in Ittai, and David is able to have peace in the midst of the storm. David is able to have grace in his soul. David is able to deal with the situation because he loves the king. He made many a mistake in his lifetime, didn't he? But God still forgave David. He was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? And God blessed him many, many times again. Ittai's love and loyalty towards the earthly king should be duplicated 100-fold towards our heavenly king. Don't you love the old songwriter? There's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, how true that is. This period in David's life was one of the hardest, one of the darkest he had ever faced. But face it, he did, because he had the help of a friend. I don't know what you're going through this morning in this church service, but I can assure you, even though it seems like the world may have bailed out on you, I can assure you today that God loves you. I can assure you today that there is one that has nail-pierced hands that prove that love. I can tell you today of one who went all the way to the cruel cross of Calvary and took your sin upon himself upon that tree and bore our sins in his body on the tree. But I can tell you today it didn't end there. The story did not end at the cross. The story goes on and focuses upon an empty tomb. It didn't even end there. The story goes on. I see him now seated at the right hand of God the Father by faith. He's in glory today. He's a friend today who makes intercession for his people. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's an established fact that we all have friends to some degree. And I've made some good friends in Smith Grove Baptist Church in almost the 20 years that I've pastored here in this church. I've seen some folks in this church that have stood in my corner when my corner was pretty dark. I've seen times in my life where I was on the verge of just saying, I've had it, this is it. But I've seen people that have stood in my corner and said, Pastor, we love you. We're praying for you. We're in your corner. And I'll always remember that. And I'll always be grateful for friends such as that. So I know something today about friends, and I'm grateful to God for that. Someone, however, needs to add something to that song. The song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Now, have you ever thought about it like this? And I know I've got to hurry. Have you ever thought about it like this? What kind of a friend does Jesus have in us? It's always, what a friend we have in Jesus. What kind of a friend does Jesus have in us? You see, David could say, what a friend I have in Ittai. What a friend I have in Ittai. He was loyal in David's lowest moments, and he called him my Lord the King. Ittai wanted to be with the King. He wanted to be with the King. I don't need to tell you this morning, I know of a king far greater than David, don't you? I'm thinking of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What's wrong in turning that song around a little bit and reading it like this? What kind of a friend does Jesus have in me? I should be like Ittai. I should want to be where my friend is. I should want to be where the King is. Now, I can't make it any more practical than what I'm about to do here now. The point I'm suggesting is this. We ought to want to be wherever Jesus is. Ittai said, I want to be where my Lord the King is. We ought to say, I want to be where Jesus is, my Lord the King. Think about this. Where is He? Well, we know this. We know that God sets up His residence in the life of every believer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We understand that. What about this? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You see where I'm going with this? We ought to want to be where our King, the Lord, is. I'll tell you where you'll find Him. You'll find Him in church. Right? You'll find Him in church. I should want to be in church where my Lord the King is. You'll find Him at a prayer meeting. You'll find Him there because He sanctioned it. He ordained it. Well, Ittai said, I want to be where my Lord the King is. What kind of a friend does Jesus have in us? You know, there's a passage of Scripture that says, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so that's a pretty powerful verse, isn't it? I love that song, and I know you do. What a friend we have in Jesus. But let's turn it around a little bit this morning and ask ourselves the question as we close, can Jesus trust our friendship? Do we have at least a small percentage of that commitment and devotion that Ittai, the Philistine, had towards the earthly king? He said, where my Lord the King is, that's where I want to be. Well, today as we close, that ought to be our desire today. Every saved person today knows Him as Lord. We know Him as Savior, and He's also King. Well, let's do everything that will please Him.